Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Film Podcast. I'm Sam Howlett and this week I'm joined by Jake Cunningham.
Hello.
And we are going to discuss Andrea Arnold's latest film, American Honey. But before we do that, we have an opening question, and this is about film length, because American Honey is 2 hours 45 minutes,
yep.
So just shy of 3 hours, and length is something we talk about quite a bit on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
I think almost weekly we say, if there's one thing we change about this film, it's that it's slightly too long. I think we both agree that most films are too long.
Yeah, you can always, the amount of times we've gone, you could probably trim 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's always like 20 minutes or 15 minutes, something that wouldn't change it dramatically, but just something, just to shave it off a bit and just make it a bit more easy to watch,
yeah,
and easy to sustain your how engaged you are with the film. And there's also been a tweet by Edgar Reet recently.
Edgar Reet.
There's also been a tweet by Edgar Wright recently who said, ambition to make an 89-minute movie. My movie so far runs 78, 99, 120, 113, 109. I think just under 90 might hit a sweet spot. So someone else who sort of shares the feeling that that's the perfect length for a film, like an hour and a half. But then here we have a film, American Honey, I think it's safe to say we both liked a lot.
Oh yeah, very much so.
And yet it's nearly 3 hours long. So my question is, if something can be cut out of a film, should it be? And with that I mean, if there's a scene in a film that doesn't serve a narrative purpose and doesn't really serve to give any exposition or change the way you think about a character, or have any lasting effect on the overall film, should it be cut out?
I think in that instance, if it is in no way affecting the film, then perhaps yes. But you've got to think of the mood of the piece and the atmosphere that the film is trying to create. Because it may not, you may think of, so this is one thing, and you think, oh, it doesn't quite serve any purpose, and you cut that. But then you might have another thing that you think, and then you're cutting and you're cutting and you're cutting, and eventually you end up with nothing. I think, although a completely different film, Duncan Jones was talking about his film Warcraft from earlier this year, and he was saying that he knows it got negative reception, and he's outwardly said, like, this is not the film that's come out is not the film that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
This is not the film I set out to make. And he says it was just an exercise in compromise. And you compromise once and you think, yeah, but we'll still be able to make something from that. And then you think that each time you make those changes, and then eventually you end up with something that is not what you set out to
create.
Not
what you've started doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I think my primary example with this question would be Youth. That's Paolo Sorrentino's film from last year early this year. And there's one, because I wasn't a fan of this film at all. I thought most of it could have been cut out, but to be fair to the film, like, okay, there is a narrative there and everything. So what could be got rid of to make it still make sense? There's a dream sequence in it with Paloma Faith, and it's like a fake music video, and that could have honestly been removed, and it's about 2.5 minutes, nearly 3 or 4 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that, I think, can often and should be gotten rid of?
Well, I think with youth, youth is a funny one for me because there are so many moments in it that I really, really like and so many moments in it that I really, really hate as well. And it's unfair to say that my opinion of it would be a 3-star because it's like I've got like 5-star moments in it and complete 1-star moments. I've forgotten the actress that comes in for 5 minutes and everyone was like, oh, she's going to get a
Jane Fonda.
Yes, that's it. Like Jane Fonda's...
That scene.
I hated that
Could be
scene.
Cut out.
Yeah.
And not affect the narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these... But then people are just looking at perhaps that scene is just a profile of good acting and right. that's its role. And so perhaps we don't need to look at it as whether or not it's serving the
narrative.
Story.
Yeah.
But is this serving an artistic purpose in itself? And I think Youth is full of those scenes. There's a film, there's a moment with Harvey Keitel seeing all his old actresses sitting on a hillside. Again, you could quite easily say it doesn't add to the story, but it's a very beautiful looking scene, and perhaps in that moment that's what we're enjoying it for.
So you can keep something in if it serves an artistic purpose or a narrative purpose. Is that the rule, maybe?
Perhaps. I mean, earlier this year, again, we had The Revenant, or late last year, depending on when you saw it. And anyone, any editor could go up to The Revenant and go, yeah, you got that.
Yeah.
Got that. I mean, The Revenant is an hour and a half story, really.
Mm.
I don't think it's that grand, really. But I was concentrating the whole way through.
Yeah, never bored, really.
Yeah, but I think you could cut from it, and you could probably cut from it, and no one would notice that much.
Yeah.
And compare that to something like Gravity, which is, it's 90 minutes with credits.
Yeah.
And that is taut, it gets its story across, and it looks great, and it has its meditation-y moments, but it really guns through it. And I think that's a really good exercise in tight script writing. We were talking about Edgar Wright as well. I think we could talk about him too.
Definitely. So with The Revenant, you think there are cases, that's a film that could definitely do with being trimmed down, or do you think it warrants that length?
I don't think it needed to be that long, but I'm not against it being that long.
So let's bring it back to American Honey now.
Yeah, and I think you could, that same sentence could apply.
Okay, so let's get into American Honey. It has, like The Revenant, a very simple plot line.
Yes.
And we were both quite surprised when we found it was nearly 3 hours long.
Mm.
So the film, it stars newcomer Sasha Lane as a girl called Star, who she's essentially living in poverty. Her home situation is not ideal. She pretty much solely looks after her younger brother and sister. And then one day she comes across this kind of band of young adults who travel around the country selling magazines, going from motel to motel. And it's a completely alternate lifestyle to one she's living, and to one that I've ever seen before, really, on film, this kind of completely free, but also with a sort of some form of job as well.
Yeah, I think that's the running contradiction through the film, that they like to think of themselves as, we are completely free.
Yeah.
Except really, they get up early just like any other 9-to-5 person.
Yeah.
They get up, they spend their day at work, they knock off, they have sales targets.
Yeah.
It's really not that free, but they're convincing themselves that it is.
So yeah, that's the story in a nutshell, really.
It doesn't go much further beyond that.
Absolutely. And so it's an epic length with a non-epic plotline. And do you think it straddles those two things well?
Yeah, this is strange. Both of us came out and said, like, yes, that was very long, but I was engaged with it the entire time.
I think that the epic length really gave it a feel of a journey.
Mm.
Because there was a point towards the end where I suddenly thought back to the beginning when she first meets Shia LaBeouf's character Jake, who is a member of this gang, and I suddenly thought, that seems like ages ago, but not in a bad way. That seemed like, I really feel like I have been on this journey with her, and it has been a really long time since that happened, and that so much has happened between that scene I was thinking of and the scene that was happening in front of me, that it did feel like a genuine sort of moment in someone's life had happened before my eyes, which was really well handled. Okay, so let's get down to some of the nitty-gritty parts. So what did you think of Sash Lane as Star? Newcomer, no acting experience, Andrew Arnold found her on a beach.
Yeah, I thought Sasha Lane was magnetic. I thought she was incredible. From the moment you see her on the screen, she feels so natural. The way that she looks around, it's like you almost feel like throughout the film that she's going to just look into the camera as well, because it is.
Yeah.
It feels almost like a home video at points, and she just feels so in the moment. And I don't think maybe that's just. It's not just her, that's everyone in the film. Andrew Arnold set out and got these people together for a couple of weeks before they got the cameras rolling, and they went on road trips and they put them in hotels, and it was to build up that camaraderie and that friendship, so when she tried capturing it on camera, it did feel natural. But I thought Sasha Lane completely carries it, and she carries the film. But it looks like she's not carrying it. It really is. She does. It's like holding together a 3-hour film. Like, you've got to be like that's a Leonardo DiCaprio role, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you've got to have so much experience to be able to handle that. And it's just a, like, yeah, I just walked off a beach, turned up, and just deliver this incredible performance.
To be in a 3-hour film. And to be in every single scene of that, near enough every shot of a 3-hour film, is a lot of pressure, especially on like a 40-year experience actor, let alone one who has no experience at all. So yeah, that's really impressive. You described her as natural there, and there's a kind of connection between Star and nature, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, I don't know how on the nose people have thought of this. There is this continuation of nature following her character, Star. It's insects, or at one point a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Or I think there's some dogs or a cat as well. And this idea of nature following her, and it's this idea of her like purity.
Yeah.
Like purity of soul and spirit.
Like
as well.
A modern Snow White.
Yeah,
in a way, like those old Disney cartoon princesses would often attract animals to them because they are completely pure and innocent.
Yeah, and I think the point of comparison, although like Snow White is like particularly with her being a young woman, but the comparison that I would draw would be to Theo in Children of Men,
okay,
Clive Owen's character, who, when you watch the film, it's very underplayed because it's a very chaotic film compared to this, which is very slow and lucid. But Children of Men is very chaotic. But when you go through it quite slowly, you notice there are dogs perpetually following Theo. And he is, again, he's smoking, he's an alcoholic, he doesn't really want to do the job, but in his heart,
he is pure.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're looking at with Star as well. She does smoke, she does drink, she does drugs, she has sex, but
deep down, and there is a moment that we'll talk about in the spoiler section, I guess, that I think reveals her true self.
Yeah.
Another point I thought about Star is that we seem to be talking about The Revenant a lot. I don't know why. she very much could have been a similar character to the one Leo plays in The Revenant, where he is essentially an empty husk that the audience can project themselves onto.
Right.
Because in The Revenant, for me, I found him not really to have much characteristics. He didn't really have much of a personality. He was just someone experienced in these things that allowed us to then feel like we're experiencing them as well. And I thought that would be the same here, that she'd be not be much of a character per se, but just be someone who we can... who is accessible for us to follow.
She was like our vessel.
Yeah, because it is a new world for an audience to go to suddenly be thrown into these parts of America that aren't often filmed, characters that aren't often in films, and actors that we don't really know. And yet, she is such a character.
Mm.
She has loads of flaws. She does things that don't make sense to us all the time. Her motivations aren't clear. Even her background isn't really clear. We get some information at the beginning, but we don't really know what her relationships are like with the other characters at the beginning, so she is a complicated character, which I think was a brave move. to have in this kind of film.
Yeah, what in, as you and you're saying that that removes the accessibility by making someone complex.
I think so. Yeah, right. I think that she's not supposed to be accessible at first. We have to work to find her accessible, and that kind of is another way that I think the 3-hour length works.
Yeah,
you need time to build up to be able to access Star.
Yeah, and I think that same feeling can be looked into the technical side of the actual filmmaking. Mm. Because at the start of the film, you feel like a hidden camera and you feel you're a voyeur. But come the end of the film, you feel like you're one of the crew.
Yes.
And you're within it.
Definitely.
That we begin as these outsiders watching and looking and trying to be part of it. And then come the end of it, we feel intimate. We feel within.
Especially by the time, like, a new person arrives in the crew after Star, then you really feel like you are Star because you arrived with her and there's suddenly a stranger and you think, who is this new person? You feel the things that Star is feeling.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about the film as a road movie, which I think it could be in one way looked seen as because they are off, you know, the essentials of a road movie, group of characters, quirky characters in a car for most of the film on the road, going from one place to another. But most road movies have a beginning. They get in the car and they have a very clear point. They think, we need to get to this place and that's where we're going.
Mm.
And that's the destination. Here, there is no destination. This film has a point A without a point B. And these people, essentially kids, have no point B. They have no destination. And it's not clear. It's sort of, so do you think that that's their choice? That they have this new alternate lifestyle that rejects the idea that a journey should have an end, should have a destination? Or have they been forced to no longer believe in destinations because of their economic background
and
status?
Yeah, I think ultimately it's that whether like physically or emotionally they feel homeless wherever they are, or they need an escape, and that's why they choose this. And it is about getting away, and no matter how far you drive, you're getting away from whatever it is you're coming from. And I think that's what they're doing. And it sounds like it's like a dorm room poster, isn't it? It's not about the destination. It's all about the journey, man. And this film could verge on that cliche.
It could
really simply. And it does have a few sins in it that I'll pick up on. But I think ultimately it really gets into the contradiction of this, like, what could pertain to be a hippie lifestyle, this freedom, and what that actually trying to do that equates to, and how that's not really a real thing anymore.
No, that the easy rider lifestyle of just hitting the road doesn't exist anymore. And even here, when they have just hit the road, they have rejected, or they don't have available a destination, but everything they do on the road is about making money. So let's get into that part of it, I guess.
Yeah, and you wonder, I think I quite like the reason that they're making money, but because it's not like I need money to go into my pension, I need money to go into my mortgage, they just like, I need money because I want to party, and that's it, and that's what they want. And I think I actually really admired that about them.
Yeah.
And I think it's so easy for sort of, well, I don't know, older people to think, oh, young people, they're not working and they're not saving money and they're being very inconsiderate and they're not thinking about the future. And you think, yeah, that's great. These, like, Andrea Arnold's really celebrating the insensibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Of youth.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kind of careless regard,
yeah,
for what's expected of you.
Mm.
That sounds a bit cliched as well, but that is what the film's about, I think, in a way. Even though Star does at some point have dreams about having a family and settling down, it seems like all the other characters have never thought about that in their lives.
Yeah.
That they are doing what they want to do right now. I think it is an interesting film about people that have not considered a future at all. They're constantly, they're just living in the now. Again, another cliched poster quote.
Yeah.
But they are, yeah, you're right. They're not thinking about investing their money. They're thinking about, okay, this will do me for the week.
Yeah.
And I can drink and do this and do that until I get paid again or until I make more money.
Yeah.
They're literally living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, I think.
And that's in terms of that, they are living free.
Yeah. It's one of those films that you can completely enjoy it on the surface level and you can really love the experience of just watching it. And
yes,
if you want to, you can delve deeper into it. And I think a comparison would be Everybody Wants Some from earlier this
Definitely.
Year. This celebration yeah. of youth. There is a thin line of a story running through it, but it's very much about the atmosphere and the people and the characters you're meeting and their activities and their fun and that celebration of youth. And there are moments in Everybody Wants Some where you question how reliable this constant pursuit of youth is. One particular character yeah. represents yes. that. And it's perhaps not as obvious in American Honey. Perhaps maybe the manager of the magazine crew.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think that runs throughout this film as well. But I really enjoy the kind of celebration of the artifice of youth.
And like Everybody Wants Some, you have this large cast, but they're all given just about enough to do, I think, each of these characters, to be considered characters rather than just background.
Yeah.
You don't know everything about them, but I think you get a general idea of what kind of characters each of them are.
Mm.
And it feels real. And like when you are young, you know loads of people. Like loads of people. You have a mass, sort of a big gang, but then, and a lot of them are just, oh, that's the guy that does that.
Yeah.
Like you see them walking around, like, oh, that's the guy that wears his hat like that.
Yeah.
And that's how it is for these characters as well, that they're just this big mass, this big sprawl of just people with their own thing.
I did, that to me, that was almost unbelievable because there are so many different cliques of people in this crew.
Okay.
I don't know of anyone that has perhaps a group of friends of, what is that, 12, 14 people that is such an eclectic variety.
Well, I think that, yeah, okay, I know what you mean in that sense. It is a bit trying hard to make them all different.
Mm.
I do like the girl that was obsessed with Darth Vader.
Yes, yes.
Because he just represents darkness.
Yeah.
And that's what Darth Vader looks like inside. Just like all of us.
Yeah, and there are those little beats like that. Each one of these people has one to make you think that's a character, that's someone that I can believe exists. And I know people like that. Like you've got the guy that likes to take his clothes off. Everyone knows
everyone
a guy.
Knows that guy that takes his clothes off all the time. Yeah.
Definitely. Sam.
Sorry, I put the trousers back on. Okay. So what did you think about Jake? Your namesake?
My namesake and one of my favourite people in the world. Shia playing a guy called Jake.
Oh, God. And he has a sweet ponytail.
Oh, no, it's a rat tail, mate.
Rat
There's
tail,
a difference.
Sorry.
He's got a sweet rat tail. He's got a bum bag. He's got so many things going for him.
Yeah.
I think he's excellent.
I think he's really good in this, actually.
Yeah.
Not distracting, because sometimes I think if you cast Shia LaBeouf in something, it's going to be very distracting for everyone watching it, because it's like, that's Shia LaBeouf.
That's Even Stevens.
Yeah, that's the guy that had that weird sort of meltdown.
Yeah.
But he's great in it. He really sells his character, who's this kind of, sort of the love interest of the film.
Yeah, questionable.
Questionable love interest, and he seems to be a high-ranking member of this posse, but then also doesn't seem quite with it at certain times as well. Really great character, I thought.
Very romantic, yeah. I think, as well.
Definitely.
And he's, I think he's definitely the funniest character in the film. That his opening is him dancing to Rihanna and Calvin Harris in a supermarket. And
standing on the checkout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, like, you could, this film could, from another perspective, you'd be thinking, ugh, youths. But it's not. Like, you see him on the checkout and you think, this is great. This is what young people should be doing. And the old people are tisking and hissing. And you think, stick it to the man.
I kind of saw some of the film as a sort of pseudo-alternative gangster movie, in a way that you have a character who starts off in a poverty situation or quite low on the social ladder, and then is enticed into this new alternative way of life where you live away from most normal mainstream forms of society. You have your own kind of gang, your own community. There's a hierarchy. There's a Don in Crystal, who's Riley
Keough.
She's essentially the mafia Don here that tells everyone what to do, expects to be paid a certain amount of money each time. And there's sort of some slight antagonistic relationship between the newcomer and the old-timer.
Yeah, I can totally believe that. And then, like, later on, you've even got, like, the new person becomes another new person, and we're integrated within the family. Yeah.
Don't mess with the family.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And you've, like, it's not drug running or gun running, it's selling magazines.
Yeah.
But it's the same principle of selling something that is perhaps not fully
ethical.
Yeah.
And then also they have to meet their...
I'm not saying print media is unethical.
The way they sell it.
Yeah.
And also there's this thing that it's kind of hinted that no matter how you get the money, you need to get the money to Crystal.
Yeah.
Which is a very gangstery thing.
Definitely. Yeah. And you pocket barely any. They say at the start, you get 20%.
Yeah.
It's not great. And she's having a great day when she says she sells 5.
I think there is a slight hint that they are being exploited by Crystal, because she doesn't really partake in their groovy lifestyle as such. I think she's kind of knows that these are stupid kids that will spend it all on drinking. And I won't have to look after them that much. Like, as long as I
I want to touch on something that I brought up earlier about them. This contradiction of freedom against reality. That's cruel. Freedom against reality. But freedom against consumerism. And as I said, they get up early and they go to a 9-to-5 job. And they have a sales manager. Like, they have everything that they clearly so want to not have.
Yeah.
And I think it's perhaps almost become this reintroduction of the idea of the American Dream film, which you would have had sort of post-depression films like, I don't know, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Like, the goal for everything is to have a family and to have this white picket fence and to have kids and to make lots of money. And that's like what American cinema celebrated for ages. And then you had films like American Beauty to take that down. And now perhaps we're getting this, I don't know, postmodern American Dream film where actually the ideas are
still desired.
Yeah.
It's just the way you get those ideas represented to you, definitely. Is there anything you want to touch on before we go into spoiler territory?
Yes, I did actually just really like the music.
Yeah, I think it's important to talk about the music. Sort of a combination of pop music, which is done very well, and also a kind of...
trap. That's from Andrew Arnold. I'm not saying I listened to it. I like instantly heard it and was like, yeah, that's my favourite trap song. But that's what she says. It's trap music.
Okay, so a lot of trap music.
Yeah.
And then also a kind of ethereal score as well.
Yeah.
Nice combination of there. But the trap music's all there.
Yeah.
To really drum it home that this is about youth culture.
Yeah, but also it's really mainstream, like the Rihanna stuff. And that's, again, something like you really like that, because often with a kind of indie art house director, like, it's like, ooh, like they've got...
unsigned band.
Or they've got Scott Walker, or they've got Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead. And it's like, no, but we got Rihanna. And it's just, it is that celebration of, like, consumer artificiality. Yeah. And it's like, so what? Like, that's what kids like.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't matter. Like, there's no point judging them for it.
Yeah, definitely. Very nice choice of music there. Right, so highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. So when you, and then when you do see it, come back and listen to us talk about the third, well, not really third act, but sort of towards the end of the film, Revelations.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's not really many because the film ends with nothing really changing.
Yeah.
She stays with the group. There's no, like, there's not even any sort of tension whether she's going to leave or anything. It just is as it has always been. Mm. Something I wanted to point out that I think would have maybe not spoiled it, but something is nice not to know before you go in, is the sort of pseudo prostitution scene.
Yes.
Now, for me, the screening we were in, this got laughs.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that thought was a bit, I thought that was strange why this would get laughs.
Yeah, it was quite a horrible scene to watch, really.
So this is the guy who is with her in the car, and he's sort of the way he's telling her what to do, I guess. She's slightly inexperienced at selling her body.
I genuinely think before she does it, she didn't realise
it was going to be that. Yeah. Because he says, oh, if I pay you $1,000, do you want to hang out with me tonight?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, okay. So again, that drums home her innocence. And also, we haven't really talked about the fact she's 18.
Mm.
She's very young. Anyway, so it's not played for laughs. But then again, it's also not wholly dramatic either. It's not, there's no like tense music playing in the background, she's not crying, it's not, do you know what I mean? It's not like a completely dramatic, melodramatic moment, which it could be in a lot of,
I think
about the scene in Boogie Nights when the same thing happens to our lead character there. That's incredibly dramatic, and there's this dark music playing in the background and he's crying, and the scene just builds tension. Here it's very matter of fact. He's not particularly horrible, he's not a monster or anything. Doesn't force himself on her.
He gives her the money up front.
Gives her the money.
He's not violent.
She's not like devastated that she's done this thing. And I think that sums up the film.
Yeah.
In a way, that these things that potentially could be really dramatic and tense are just matter of fact.
Yeah. And it maintains the observational outlook that it's had throughout the film. Even when it would be easy to manipulate things to create drama, it holds back on doing that.
And also the thing that you were saying earlier, that they are kind of have this sort of free lifestyle, and there's like the new teenager may not take something like this too seriously.
Mm.
If they're just on the road with no responsibility, then they think, oh, what's stopping me from doing that? Screw it. Mm. What the hell?
And something that I think is perhaps the only thing that kind of draws in a closing of her arc is when she brings food to some impoverished children.
Yes, let's talk about that.
So at the start of the film, we established that Star looks after her brother and sister, who are younger, and like the opening scene of the film is them searching in a tip to get some food from a supermarket that they've thrown out. And then come 2.5 hours later, we find her going to try and sell magazines to an impoverished neighborhood, and the mother is, I think, meth or heroin or something. I think it was implied.
I think it was meth.
Yeah. The kids, again, amazingly aren't too distressed, which I thought, like, you could easily do a Breaking Bad thing where it's like, oh God, I feel so awful for that child, and look how skinny they are, and look how depressed they are, and they can't even watch TV because their parents don't pay the bills. But Star goes into this house and the kids are just like, hey, do you want to hear my song? Like,
yeah.
Or this, is it The Grateful Dead?
I want to kill children?
Yeah. It's like, it's my favourite song, I want to kill children.
Yeah.
And she sings it and she seems happy and the brother seems happy.
He's wearing his Pikachu onesie.
Yeah. And he gets her a drink. And she just sees her brother and sister in them and goes and buys them food. And this is one scene, talking about scenes that could be cut.
Yeah, I was going to bring it back to that. Yeah.
We see her go to their house and meet these kids, and then we see her in the supermarket putting stuff in the basket.
Yeah.
And for me, you could cut it there.
Yeah. We don't need to. We know what's happened.
Yeah. She goes on to bring the food back to the house and give it to the kids. And that's the bit that I don't feel was necessary.
Yeah, because you see her buying food. You've never seen her buy food or anything that sensible for herself before. You know what she's doing with it. Yeah. Also, it's a smaller point, but there's a scene earlier on where she gets in this guy's truck and sells him magazines. That could be cut.
What, the lorry driver?
Mm.
Oh, I don't know, because I thought that was playing on our idea of lorry drivers. Like, that's the...
Truckers are evil.
Yeah, that's it. That's the conception that we've got from horror films. That,
okay, so this is more of a...
Like, it's just a... it's a trust exercise. And I think the film Wild actually has a very similar scene.
Okay, yeah. Right, so...
I would recommend American Honey as an after-lunch film.
An after-lunch film?
Yeah.
Okay. I think go for the morning.
Ooh! No, it's a lunch. Because you want to get a big lunch, like a pasta lunch.
I think after your breakfast, you go in there with a cup of tea or coffee.
Right.
And then it, you know...
So no, but it's
finish,
too long, mate.
It will finish around midday, and then you can go straight into lunch and mull it over.
No, but if you have a coffee, then you're going to need a wee halfway through, and you really don't want to break up the rhythm of this. You want big pasta lunch, and then you want to go in, and you just want to schlomp down in your seat, and you just want to... like, because you want a big meal that's going to take ages to digest, so you're a bit kind of tired. Not tired, but very relaxed.
Okay.
Like maybe a shepherd's pie. Something like that. That is this kind of film that you just, you need something that's going to keep you sat down and just let it wash over you.
Okay, it is. I did really like this film. It is a little bit of a trial.
No!
A 3-hour film always. I mean, it was a little bit hard. I mean, I did enjoy all of it, but I did think it's very long.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree that it's very long. I don't think there's any dispute in that. It's very long.
No. But yeah, this is one of the most. I think Andrea Arnold has now developed her kind of cult of following. So if you liked any of her previous films, so that's like Wuthering Heights,
Red Road,
Fish Tank, which are all available
on Curzon Home Cinema.
Yeah. If you liked them, you'll definitely love this. I think she's got that. She's retained that kind of natural, low key but very real filmmaking aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see it done in America.
Yeah.
Don't think she's done an American film.
No,
before.
It feels really natural as well. It doesn't feel like an outsider's view of America at all.
And it's a part of America that, like I said earlier, that hasn't really been shown on film that much before in such a sort of candid
and
light.
I think there's a point where you see the Grand Canyon, but it's from a different angle that we're not used.
So you don't even realise it is the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, you don't recognise the view. And I think that's that kind of sums up this film. It's America, but it's not America we're used to seeing on film.
America. So, American Honey, do check it out. It's going to be released on Friday. And then...
Which is today.
So, make some 3 hours of your life available.
Yeah, make a lasagna.
Make a lasagna and go for it. Another big thank you to CSR for letting us use their studio. Our next episode...
Will be on Sunday,
and it's our review roundup of everything we've seen at the London Film Festival. And there's a lot of films we've seen at London Film Festival this year.
Yeah, I think we're doing a bit of La La Land, Manchester by the Sea, Personal Shopper, Patterson, Christine,
Una, Birth of a Nation,
Bleed for This. So much to talk about.
Free Fire.
Yes.
Nocturnal Animals, all going to be there.
Yeah.
So definitely, tune in for that. And it's goodbye from Jake.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.